we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source, we truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, especially after a tough game like this, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers, unfortunately today, the offense was very stagnant. Defensively, they were pretty good for the most part, but still some lapses inside when it comes to points in the paint. But it was the offense that was very inefficient. And down the stretch, our MVP candidate, LeBron James, unfortunately, at the very last 2 minutes, didn't play like an MVP candidate. And the Lakers ended up losing in a rematch of the 2020 NBA Finals, 96-94. And here today to talk about everything going on with the game is a good man indeed. He is the mastermind of Lakerholics.com. You got to go ahead and check out everything that they're saying. And boy, they're saying a lot right now at Lakerholics.com. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, you had mentioned before that you thought the real problem of the team right now is not on the defensive side, but on the offensive side. And after tonight's game, I don't think I'll disagree.
Yeah, it was a tough game offensively. I mean, I thought you have to look at these games as difficult games because you're missing an awful lot with Dennis Schroeder being out and Anthony Davis. There were some things that I thought were real good positives for the Lakers. I'd prefer at this point in time to focus on those. We had opportunities to win the game, several of them, and good wide open shots, and we just didn't make them.
Well, I mean, Can I just say this? These were shots that should have been taken by LeBron, to say, because LeBron seemed very passive.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but what you have to realize is that what Miami was doing at the end of the game was doubling LeBron.
Yeah.
And the Lakers played that strategy perfectly because what they were doing is rather than sending a big who was going to go to the basket, they were sending another guard to set a screen for him. And the guard was slipping to get an open shot. I mean, that's how we came back there. Those are the open shots.
I will say one of them with Kuzma getting that 3-point look should have hit that. You're right. I give you on that one. But Wesley Matthews trying to go ahead and not shooting something in rhythm with 12 seconds left in the game. That I thought
Wes had an open shot, but the problem is that's a shot going to your left.
And it wasn't a rhythm.
Which is a tough shot.
It wasn't a catch and shoot.
Let me finish.
Go ahead. I just wanted to say that, but go ahead.
Yeah. The things that I thought were really positive about the game is the Lakers lack guys who have confidence in taking threes, and they don't take enough threes. Tonight they shot 45 threes, and I really like that. I wish they would shoot 45 threes every single game. This is what they have to do in order to.
B-Rob is saying no on that one.
This is what they have to do in order to beat the 3-point differential that is killing them. They had open shots, they couldn't hit them, but the shots that they were taking, these 45 threes were not hurried threes, were not highly contested threes. For the most part, they were wide open threes that they just could not hit. And until we make a trade to change the roster, we're still not going to see that change. The good signs were that Gasol, although he had more opportunities to shoot, he still made two of them. We saw a little bit of Kenny coming back, hitting three threes. Kuzma hit some good threes. I thought Kuzma played an excellent game defensively, rebounding-wise. I thought Wes Matthews played an outstanding game defensively on Butler. Jimmy Butler. He really hassled him and harassed him the entire game. And the defense held him to 35 points in the second half. You can't ask for more than that from the defense. They did an excellent job. Trez did a good job on Abadayo. You know, this is a game that is going to be a close game because the Lakers are missing two of their best players. Get used to this. We're going to see a lot of this between now and until Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder come back. But the good sign is that they're making the right adjustments. They're still playing good defense. They won the 3-point war today, but they lost the game. But it was a close game, And it wouldn't have been a close game if they just hit just the league average, 37% instead of 28.9% from their threes. We got killed in points in the paint, and most of those weren't the overpowering type of points in the paint. And a lot of them really happened in the first half when we, that's when we really fell way behind there. And a lot of that came with Gasol. Gasol is just too slow to stop Adebayo, and he's able to get around him to score easy baskets and get around him to put in rebounds. A slow start again was the killer for the Lakers. You just can't get behind like that and fight uphill all the entire game. But hey, listen, they came back with a strong opportunity. They stole that ball at the end. I wish we'd had that timeout left that hadn't been wasted, and we could have called that timeout and run a play. You don't want Caruso taking the game-winning shot. I'm sorry, Alex. And a zero for Caruso just shows the problems that the Lakers have. We have too many guys who just cannot score, and we have too many guys who are not great shooters. We need three-point shooting badly. Our record up until this game, when we had shot more than 10, when we'd shot more than 10 threes, we were 11-1 going into this game. We had five games where we shot 10 threes and we were 3-5 on that.
You mean made 10 threes, right?
Made 10 threes, right. And we had eight games, I think, but where we were less than 10 threes. That's a huge amount. Eight games where we didn't even make 10 threes in the game. And we ended up winning only three out of eight of those games. So our problem is that we don't have enough three-point shooting, and the league this year is the we're up 1.1 percentage point in the average three-pointers made. 37 points is the average for a team now. So we're shooting 29.5% going into this, and we shot 28.9 tonight. So we're going to slip a little bit there. So I think the priority that the Lakers are doing the right thing. Pardon?
The season, we're shooting better than 29% for the season.
No, 29. I'm sorry. We are shooting. The last 10 games, we've been at 29.5%. Excuse me. It's a three-point league. We did a good job defensively on threes. We did a good job defensively in the second half. You can see that the Heat are not a playoff team. They're a team that is not going to make the playoffs this year. And like I said last year, the only reason they made the finals was the bubble. Butler made those free throws at the end. We missed open shots at the end. So that's how the game goes.
I disagree with you on the statement on Miami.
Me too, 100%.
Yeah, I would definitely put them in a matchup at favorite as far as for the Knicks, as far as for the Hornets. As far as for the Hawks.
I didn't say, let's wait and see.
You just said they weren't a playoff team.
They're a 13-18 team after tonight.
Yeah. In the East Coast, they're a playoff team.
But they've had
whatever that means.
They're a play-in team at best.
COVID issues.
I'll bet they're going to end up right around
22nd. And they rank 22nd among all of the teams in the league.
Again, Laker Tom, this is
Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler's barely played. They've had terrific injuries. They missed games due to COVID. All the bad luck that they've had, we are just now getting. So let's let the chips fall where they may at the end of the season. This calling them ridiculous at this point in the season is ridiculous. You know,
saying Miami is not a playoff team is
they're going to be in the playoffs.
They're sure not going to be in the finals. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I didn't we'll say see. We're not a finals
to it,
team
or get close to it.
We're not saying that. I'm just saying that they are.
After a first-round exit.
Jimmy Bodacious will lead them to the promised land.
We'll see what happens as far as that's concerned. I think they are a playoff team wherever in the playoffs.
Right now they lost three out of five on their trip. I think the only team they beat.
No, they went 3-3 on the trip.
What
good teams that they beat on the trip?
Not sure. I know they lost to Golden State. I know they lost to Utah, and I know they beat Houston. They beat OKC,
but then
they beat us. So,
Lee Robin, you know as well as I do, in the NBA least or Leastern conference, as I call it, you know, you could just
100%.
There's only three good teams that people are concerned about at this point in time. Boston's not there.
They're not playing good. They look better than they have been playing because we didn't guard them. I mean, Tom said they didn't shoot good, but they had wide open shots. You give Duncan Robinson wide open threes, you think he's going to miss those? most of the time.
No. Nope. Four,
how many wide open backdoor cuts did they get?
Three or four.
Yeah, off of Caruso, two of them.
Yeah, they played. We, you know,
THT, Caruso.
I don't think
backup guards are stuck in.
Again, though, when you're giving up only 96 points, that's under the league average. You're doing a pretty good job defensively overall. True, I think they gave up way too many points of paint. Again, another issue for the Lakers. But still, as you said, Lee Rob, I think you were shaking your head that you did not like what Tom said in regards to taking that many threes. No. I think it should be a little bit less than that. I thought they went a little bit too three happy and did not attack the paint enough. I think that was, again, something that LeBron was missing pretty much in the last 2 minutes. Yeah, he might have been double teamed, but there are ways to get out of that double team and pass and get it right back to him so it can make, you know, easier things for him in that offense. I think he just didn't give an emphasis on doing it as much as I think he would in a normal situation. Maybe it was because he was fatigued. He just did not play at the level like someone who should. You know, a lot of people think is the MVP front runner, who I no longer think is the MVP front runner, is playing right now. So, you know, be that as it may,
they doubled and sagged on him the entire game.
But that's why you pass off
45 open 3-point shots for a reason.
Well, Tom, I'm not going to argue with you on this, but
because they didn't want LeBron to drive to the basket.
Well, Tom, I'm not going to argue with you on this, but there are ways to get right. You were a coach. You have been a coach. You know, if somebody's being double teamed, quick pass right back, takes time for the double team to reform. You're gone. There's other ways to play around it. So don't say that there's no, just because someone's being double teamed, that's the end of it. They should just be out of the play entirely. LeBron has seen every type of defense over the 17, 18 plus years now he's been in the league. He's seen it all. There was something missing. Was he fatigued? Was he injured? Something's, was he really unhappy with the refs as far as the way it was being called? Just something was missing in that last 2 minutes. He did not really come up to the plate like an MVP should. The only shot he took was a fadeaway in the corner three. And that was very disappointing to see, because this whole team knows that it needs LeBron to be effective and to give you that pass at the right time or make the plays, because the team cannot make the plays.
Miami Heat also knew, Gerald. That's the whole point.
I think part of
defended LeBron exactly the way that you strategically defend LeBron.
But there's other ways.
On the outside, you sag in the middle, you give up as many threes as you want. We're a poor 3-point shooting team.
The offense could dictate a lot better than that. I thought the Lakers offense could have dictated that last 2 minutes a lot better than that, especially
not a Frank Vogel offense. It can't.
Well, again, it comes down to,
I'm serious. Like, it's, there's mystifying. Right. Just, I'm looking at the box score right now, and like, we shot so poorly, but there are three guys who were shooting really well, who didn't play at all in crunch time: Gasol, Caldwell Pope, and Taylen Horton Tucker. All three of those guys had effective games. Gasol was doing, shot 2 for 6 from three. He was one of our better 3-point shooters tonight. THT was 2 for 3, 1 for 2 from three, and only played 17 minutes. I mean, I will say, you know, THT was kind of getting abused on defense throughout the first.
Take out to put THT in.
I would have taken Caruso out tonight. I thought that after Caruso got that T, mentally he wasn't in the game anymore. And I think the same of LeBron. I think between the refereeing and, like, to your point, Gerald, I thought that LeBron did hit guys when they were open. And then, you know, Wes Matthews turned down an open three. Kuzma turned down an open three. Guys were turning down open shots. And this has been a problem for the last going on month. You know, guys are overthinking the game of basketball. If you get that open pass in the corner, you let it fly. You don't think about it. It's not a decision you're supposed to make. The decision has been made for you. You have the ball, you're open in the corner, and you shoot. I don't care if you're 1 for 12 for the game.
And the same goes for open shots in the lane. When
100%.
Vogel did do was having those guys, when they set that pick, come up.
100%.
Flip the pick, and they were wide open. Sometimes at the free throw line or right in the lane, Caruso especially had it a couple times. KCP had it a couple times, and they wouldn't shoot the little 12-foot jumper. It's like, shoot that.
I don't understand how, like, KCP finally has a good game, and it's like he gets 5 shots. First off, KCP should be mic'd up every night. Like, just tell him he's mic'd up. Whenever he's mic'd up, he has a good game. Even if he's not mic'd up, tell him he's mic'd up, and I'm mic'd up. I should have a good game. But, like,
go ahead. No, Gerald. Finish first. Finish your statement first, because I got to go ahead and introduce you and Lee Robb right after.
I know. We got all jumped
in there.
I know.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is my issue with the Lakers, is that the Frank Vogel offensive scheme is so simplistic. It makes Luke Walton look like an offensive genius. And that's saying something, because Luke Walton doesn't run a discernible offense either. So if you don't have LeBron James on this team, this isn't a playoff team. Even with Anthony Davis, I'm not sure this is a playoff team without LeBron James. And that is a problem. It's a problem when he goes to the bench. It's a problem even when Schroeder's in.
Well, I can tell you right now that's a problem, because, again, when Bron went out for that brief bit in the third quarter, they scored 0 points. They got outscored, right. I think, close to 10 to nothing in that time frame. And that was only, you know, LeBron had to come back right away. He
sat on the floor for 2 minutes, maybe?
Two minutes.
Right, exactly. Right. It's a problem. It's a big problem. And it's weird, because you'd think that, like, Jason Kidd might be able to be a little bit more of an offense. I don't know. Somebody on the bench, somebody somewhere. AD was doing more coaching tonight, for crying out loud. I mean, AD was, like, bringing guy. You know, this is a problem. And I'm starting to come to the opinion of Frank Vogel that I've long had from Mike D'Antoni. And, like, Mike D'Antoni's currently in his perfect role. He's an offensive coordinator with somebody else to do the post-game conference, to do whatever a head coach does in the NBA these days. He doesn't have to worry about anything but the offense, which is what he is obviously the best at as a coach. He's a terrible defensive coach. He's a terrible motivational coach, because he says things like, oh, we don't need a big man in the game. You know, you're disrespecting your own players. So Frank Vogel is that, but a defensive coach. He's just too focused on the defensive end. And there were times when I was like, is there anybody going to do anything? Like, five guys standing around the perimeter, nobody moving. I think Matthews and KCP move the least amount of two guards in the NBA. Like, they don't move, and it's
mind-boggling.
Sorry.
I know, Laker Tom, I know you got something to go ahead and say. I want to get Lee Robb a little bit involved here. Lee's a great name.
Is L. Robb.
Yes. All right. Well, his handle might be Elrod, but I see Lee Robb
For 10 years, we called him Elrod.
Okay. I wasn't with
longer
you
than that.
For
10
years.
Tomato, tomato. We're good.
Yeah.
Longer than that. Elrod's been around since the Laker blog, baby.
Okay. Well, for at least Jamie, news could be better for the Lakers, because, you know, DeMarcus Cousins may be on the way, but that's another issue.
Yes. Come on, Boogdacious.
Well, according to Shams Charani, he's no longer playing for the Houston Rockets, and they're working on a buyout. They just made his contract official, and they're now working on a buyout because they want to go to a much younger lineup, and Christian Wood's coming back, so they want to go younger. So they've talked about getting him his release in the not-too-distant
future. They want to play some defense is what they want to do.
Well, yeah.
Be that as Wookie's all NBA defense. What are you talking
about? Rob, I know you got plenty of thoughts on the game. Again, you disagreed with Tom on taking that many threes. I mean, offense is the issue, I guess, primarily right now, because when you see the Lakers play that kind of defense, true, a lot of back cuts, they shouldn't have given up. Alex Caruso looked befuddled at a couple times as well. Too many points in the paint because they didn't think they, you know, like with the Heat, just go ahead, no AD, we can go ahead and go in there all we want. But still, you're only giving up 96 points. So defensively, that's not too bad. Offensively, what do they need to do to manufacture some more points?
Guys have to be aggressive. Guys have to, when you catch the ball, look at the basket. There's a thing that's 10 feet that's hanging underneath the backboard. You have to look at it first. Caruso, look at the basket. It's okay to shoot the ball. You're in the game the whole game. You're catching it. You got to attack the basket. You got a decent handle. Get in the lane. Flip up some. You can score. Shoot the ball, but you can't score if you don't shoot the ball. I don't have a problem with with the Lakers shooting a lot of threes, like Tom said, because against certain teams, they are going to pack the paint. Miami's one of those teams. They are going to give you more threes. Now, 45, okay, that may be a little bit more, but I don't have a problem with you, you know, shooting the threes when the defense kind of gives you those open shots. So THT just got to, he's got to pull it. He's got to shoot it. He can't dribble it, you know, dribble into the lane too much all the time. He's too predictable. Caruso's the opposite. He won't dribble into the lane and shoot it. Jamie's ragging on Vogel's offense. When you take your creator and Schroeder out, when you take AD out, how many guys do the Lakers have you can get the ball, they can put the ball on the basket, on the ground, and create something? You got THT, and he's not really playing that great right now. Kuzma, not really. He's pretty much been a catch-and-shoot guy. Our offense is challenged. We're going to have more games like this. I mean, it is what it is. When Morris is not hitting open threes, Horaio's going to do his thing. KCP was a good sign. That was a very good sign to see him hit some threes. So, but our team, we are offensively challenged right now. So, to that point, as long as we play good D and keep ourselves in game, I'll be happy with it. Today, I don't think our defense was that great. I think that was more of a byproduct of Miami being tired on a long road trip than it was. I didn't see us really locked down on defense until the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter was really good. But the biggest, I mean, you cannot call that. You cannot run that play when the game on the line. You cannot have Wes Matthews running off a screen, pulling up with a shot. He's a catch and shoot guy. He cannot score off the dribble at all. So whoever drew that play up, please explain that thought process to me. I'd rather LeBron shooting over two guys than Wes Matthews shooting wide open, you know, off the dribble.
So I think the bigger question is, did anybody draw that play up?
No.
I'm not sure anybody did.
Why is he down in the corner? And remember, not only once, but twice was LeBron in the corner. Why is he in the corner, you know, not once, but twice in the last 2 minutes of a game, last minute of a game, primarily, two of the last three.
That's where LeBron chose to go.
That's something you have to scratch your head in with.
Listen, there's two things that you have to understand about LeBron James teams. Number one, the offense is decided. What we do on the court when LeBron is there is decided by LeBron James. That's the first thing. So LeBron saw that he was being doubled. Look at every time that THT, who is an outstanding finisher on a drive, went inside. He had three guys on him in the paint. Every time LeBron went in there, three guys, including Abadeo, in the paint. So they gave. We took what they gave us, which was the open threes, and we missed them.
Yep.
Now, the second thing, and this is the more important point, and this goes especially not only to Frank Vogel, but to Rob Pelinka. What do you do to build a championship team around LeBron James? High volume, high percentage, three-point shooters. Who that is the high percentage, high volume, three-point shooter on the Lakers? It's LeBron James. That's ass backwards.
That was not our formula last year.
Well, but last year we shot about the same as we did this year.
Yeah. So
and we should have added some real shooting off season, but we really didn't because the shooters we added were guys who shoot two or three shots a game. They aren't the guys like you go to you look at some of these teams. You look at Utah. You look at the Clippers. You look at the Philadelphia. Look at the
Seth Curry.
We need guys who shoot eight or nine threes a game. Regular.
You want Duncan Robinson on the team.
Sure. You need a guy like that. We don't have a guy like that. We don't have a guy like that who can get smoking hot and make 8 out of 10 threes and you walk away with an easy win.
One guy like that is okay.
KCP could be that guy, but he's just, he's out to lunch. He's just not involved. He's not mentally. I don't know what his deal is.
We don't run any plays to get those guys shots because
we don't run any plays.
We don't
run
those guys.
That's the problem. Hold on, and this is something that Jamie Sweet mentioned that Kendrick Nunn seems to always play well against the Lakers. It's so funny how he just falls out of the rotation and is just like at the back end of the bench, then somehow manages to go ahead when necessity hits for the Heat. they go ahead and turn to him, say, can you do something for us? And then he comes through, and then it gets to the point where everybody gets healthy again, and he goes back and goes back into the back of the bench again. I just don't understand why they have zero confidence in Kendrick Nunn's game. I mean, as soon as this guy goes ahead and goes to another team,
all-star against us.
Yeah. I'm not going to say he's an all-star, period, but no. The guy's a scorer. The guy can fill it up.
He's a member of the all-Lakers, the all-anti-Lakers. No,
he's no Boogie Cousins, future all-star.
Well, I'm just saying as soon as he gets an opportunity full-time to be a full player, you know, regardless of whether they're injured or sick
No, please, no.
They got Hero, they got Duncan Robinson, they have Dragic. I mean, it's, you know, those are they guys.
Always falls out of the rotation.
It's because he doesn't, Gerald, it's because he doesn't play defense the way Spo likes to play. That's the bottom line. You got to play defense on the Miami Heat. Kendrick Nunn is a gunner, and he hasn't learned the lesson that Kyle Kuzma learned. Like, if you want to stick in the NBA on a professional basketball team and a professional basketball association, and all these guys who are in the NBA can do all sorts of things, but can you do it within a structure? Can you do it with on a team and make it work on a team?
But he shoots better than Kuzma.
Yeah, but I mean, I would take Kuzma over Kendrick Nunn in every single. If I was picking, I pick
lighting it up this year like last year.
Kendrick Nunn or Kyle Kuzma?
Frankly, Kuzma's shooting 36% from three.
Kuzma's doing great.
He's in the top five in offensive rebounding.
He's fifth in the league in defensive rating. Like, he's playing great this season.
Dramatically,
I didn't say anything about the defensive rebounding.
I'm just saying that's the issue with Kendrick Nunn, is that he is one-dimensional. Yeah. Is that his skill set is one-dimensional. Now, is it a skill set we could use? 100%. And we should trade somebody for him pronto.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know how much Kendrick Nunn makes.
That's for
No. Well, why not? We're on the other side of the world.
Yeah. They don't think that way, though.
No. Leaves right. Pat Riley ain't trading nobody good to us.
No.
Who he trade to us? He trade us AI. That's who he trade to us.
Well, we lost by 2 points. What we need to do, here's the answer of what we need to do. We
score
can't
more than 17 points in the fourth.
We have to come out and play defense in the first half like we do in the second half.
You got behind by 15.
Falling behind by 10 points. And playing the entire game from behind.
Yeah. First quarter, we were down 36-23.
That gasses you so badly that it just takes the heart out of the game.
Especially LeBron. LeBron just doesn't have – he can't
– Stop complaining about the fouls.
Yeah, no. Well, but, I mean, at some point, I'm looking at the free throw. The Heat shot 23 feet.
So they never do it again.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, it got to the point, you're right, where it got a little bit ridiculous. And, of course, a lot of the calls were kind of, some of the calls were legitimate for the Lakers that they should have gotten. For instance, who was Alex Caruso guarding? Alex Caruso was guarding, was it Nunn? Nunn bumped into Adebayo himself. And
Caruso gets called for the foul.
Caruso got called for the foul.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
That bump every game, every drive to the
hoop. Right. And
drive to the hoop.
Every time we put a guy hand on a guy's hip driving to the hip, LeBron gets an elbow, arm, shoulder on his drives. No, he shot six free throws tonight.
Yeah, it was I think we got tired of the Lakers complaining, but you open up the game. LeBron, you're clipping Duncan Robinson shooting a three-pointer. Later on, KCP runs into
Robinson
him.
And also throws his leg out on those three pointers.
He does. And you know he does.
He threw that leg out to catch Wes Matthews.
But Lee's right. Lee's right. Don't clip him then. You gotta,
If you know he does it, Tom. I mean, then don't do it.
Right. Easier said than done. But no.
Yeah. Again, we got to find ways to manufacture.
Especially when Frank is telling you to challenge every three, because our focus is to. Our focus used to be to prevent layups. Our focus now is to prevent threes.
Kinda.
Again,
we traded to protect the rim for protect the three.
No.
We need to find ways to manufacture points when LeBron James is out of the lineup, because it really looked bad in that third quarter. Remember, the Lakers did have a lead.
Anthony Davis is the answer.
Well, even when AD's in there by himself, The Lakers have to do more. That you've even said and commented. In fact, last year, this was a point of contention where when AD was in and LeBron was out, the Lakers manufacturing that offense didn't look smooth. Looked a little bit better this year when that happened.
We're still negative with LeBron off the court.
You're right.
Last year and this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you're always going to be that way. But it's just closing that gap, just finding at least two, four, or six more points during that stretch when he's out of the game where you can go ahead and manufacture points. Sure, Schroeder could have been that difference tonight and very well may have been the difference because he can do some of that.
But he's shooting 31% from three, too, which is not good.
No, that's not good, and no, am I going to say this. I'm just saying that when LeBron goes out of the game, even for such a minuscule amount of time like he did in that third quarter, the Lakers have to find something.
You can't run the LeBron offense when LeBron's on the bench.
You got
to have some plays.
You got to have some plays. If AD's out and Schroeder's out again in the next game, I mean, I'm assuming AD's going to be out till well after the All-Star break. So
Schroeder's
that's not going to
be out all week.
Schroeder's going to be out all week. So I would like for us to put Gasol in when LeBron goes to the bench and run the offense through Marc Gasol. Let Marc Gasol – here's a crazy idea. Let the seven-footer who's really good at scoring around the basket try and score around the basket a couple of times. There are things that we don't – there are like whole tools we don't use on this team that I don't understand.
He can't score around the basket because
he can't get up. He can't score around the basket.
Here's a good point. What they should do with him, the problem is that when you play him at the top of the key or above the free throw line, he clogs up that whole area from driving because his guy's can sag.
Yeah.
And his guy is quick enough to get back to him. They should play him in the corner.
I'd rather see him at the three-point elbow.
And an attack on the strong side because then he's a long way away and he's the perfect guy that they'll leave open for a three-point shot, and he's better in the corner shooter than he is from the top of the key.
The problem is we're talking about how we can get Marc Gasol involved. That's problem number one.
Surround LeBron with high volume, high percentage shooters. Let's see. Who do we have that checks that list?
Kuzma.
Anybody shoot 6 threes a game?
No.
Or LeBron.
That's it.
Anybody else shoot 6 threes a game?
Not even AD, who's our best shooter.
Kuzma, 5 threes a game?
Kuzma will want to shoot 6 threes.
Well, Kuzma takes 4.2 threes and shoots 36%. That's good.
Right.
We're going against teams that have two guys that take 8 threes a game and shoot 38-39%.
As a starter, how is Kuzma doing? I mean, that's different. All that goes up because Kuzma gets more minutes now because AD's out. I mean, now he is an individual that is
Kuzma's turning into Caruso who can score.
Well, I'm just saying Kuzma is now taking those 6 threes like you're asking when he's starting and he's in the lineup like right now. But they need more. They need more than that. And they need one of these other guys to go ahead and be aggressive as well. Kuzma only hesitated once, I saw, on a shot that he should have taken.
Yeah, that corner shot.
He had it open. Four for 11. He shot four for 11 from three tonight, Tom. Believe me,
those corner shots are so much easier to make than the above the line threes. And those are always difficult shots.
I would like to see them put THT in the starting lineup against certain teams. It wouldn't have worked against Miami because you need
Miami.
But if you're playing against a team that don't have an explosive guy that we have to worry about scoring and lighting us up, put THT in there. Let's get another person who can create, who can score the ball.
The problem is that everybody probably is watching tonight's game thinking that, this is the new formula to beat the Lakers. Let him shoot the threes. Let's sag off. Let's double LeBron. Make him give up the ball, and then everybody else sag into the key.
Yeah, well, Twin.
Guys that can kill you.
Yeah, Morris is not going to continue to shoot whatever he's been shooting from 3-point range.
God, for two tonight.
I think he's shooting 10% or something like that.
It's absurdly bad. He's been absurdly bad this year. I would say he's been the most disappointing Laker this year.
I would teach Vogel to bench him.
I mean, he hasn't, but now he's playing and he's still missing shots.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I Morris and KCP.
Well, we're down to a 9-man rotation because we lost AD and
there's nobody left to play. I'm surprised they haven't tried Alphonso McKinney a little more. I'm not going to lie.
They tried Cook the other night.
Yeah, I would have tried. I tried McKinney over Cook. McKinney, I think there's a lot more in McKinney's game than there is in Quinn Cook's game. I like Quinn Cook as a person. I like Quinn Cook on our bench as, like, you know, the guy, you know, the rah rah guy on the bench. But I would at this point, like,
how many of those guys do you need, though, is the question.
Just Quinn Cook, and that's why I would go to. I would have.
We got Dudley.
Cook and Dudley. Yeah, well, no. Dudley is the secret weapon, Tom. Don't
he
forget.
Needs to retire and go pitch his book. That's all he needs to do right now. He needs to retire and pitch his book.
Is 42 pages considered a book nowadays? It's ridiculous. 42?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Laker Tom wants to talk. Go ahead.
Let's end the podcast on a positive note because we only lost the game by 2 points against the Eastern champion from last year. Kuzma showed some great defense and some great effort. LeBron had a horrible game, and we still only lost by 2 points. We finally shot and made 14 threes, I think, and took 45. That's probably the tops this season. We are due to, if Frank believes in the regression of the mean, and the mean means that we're going to start hitting those shots. Give us 45 the next game, and I bet we'll make more than 28.9%. Kenny unleashed in three, hit three threes, including a clutch one down the stretch, a corner three, a difficult angled corner three. Wes Matthews played some outstanding defense. We held Miami to 35 points in the second half. We had three or four opportunities to win the game. That's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. So you just got to look at this is how we're going to have to struggle as long as AD and Schroeder are out of the game. But when they come back, and March 24th is coming up soon, the Lakers are going to have to make some moves to get some three-point shooting, some higher volume three-point shooting. They need to add at least one guy who shoots 7, 8, 9 threes a game.
Guy, he's not going to have the minutes to get up that many shots. I mean, I'm sure he will
because he's going to have to be traded for. He's not going to find that guy on the waiver list. You're going to have to trade somebody for him, and the people that you're going to trade are probably
a proven formula in the playoffs.
Your two starting guards.
What you're saying is it a proven formula in the playoffs? So far in the regular season, we're pretty much matching everything we did last year in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, we turned up our defense a little bit, and we became a little more efficient. Our three-point shooting.
We also jumped from 30 shots, 30 threes attempted per game in the playoffs last year to 35 a game.
Okay, so let's do that.
And we made a higher percentage in the playoffs.
Let's do that again. Why can't we do that again?
Pardon?
I said, why can't we do that again?
I think that we'll try to do that again, but I think for me, if you look at the big difference this year, the whole league is shooting 1.1% better from deep than they did last year. And the top four teams in the league, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Jazz, and who's the other one? Who am I missing in there?
Philly.
Portland.
Portland. All three of those teams and the Nets, who were likely to play in the – that's who is missing. The Nets and Portland – we're likely to end up going through Portland, then the Clippers, then the Jazz, and then the Nets. That's probably going to be – the gauntlet that we have to go through to win a championship. And all four of those teams range from 9 to 4 points per game differential in threes that they generate from 3-point shots that they make versus allowed. We're running right now -1. Last year we were +1. We need, and we're already ranked in the top five defensively for the number of threes that we allow, the number of threes that teams make, and the percentage. So we can't get much better defensively.
Yeah, I just don't know how much
the offense. It's
last year in the playoffs. Last year, Utah, Denver. I mean, last year, Utah, Houston, and Dallas, I believe, was the top three in regular season in point differential from three-point range. And in the playoffs, those three teams, it couldn't sustain it. Right. So I don't know.
The playoffs were the bubble playoffs last year.
Yeah, well.
As we saw from the Miami Heat being the team that made it to the finals.
I mean, that's if you're gonna say that, then this is the bubble regular season. This is the bubble regular season, then, and that argument doesn't hold much water with me. I mean, it's a bubble championship for us. Is that how you think of it? Because
you're diminishing the Lakers.
That's what I'm saying, and I'm not going to diminish that accomplishment. So
it just depends. What? They happen to play well that way. And you would have thought that the Lakers would have been affected most, because we have the home court advantage, we have the crowd, we have the fans in every other stadium where we go, every other arena we go to. The Lakers, the difference was LeBron James. LeBron James molded that team and kept them together in the bubble. That kind of leadership. You didn't find the Lakers going out to Magic City to, you know, buy wings every night and doing things like that. The Lakers kept their whole act together, and they really came out and played great basketball. And maybe we can do that again in the playoffs, but it ain't going to be as easy this year as it was last year.
Because you got to remember,
our three-point shooting has become our Achilles heel.
Because you got to remember, though, that in the bubble, in the end of the regular season, in those final eight games, the Lakers looked atrocious. So,
we didn't need to win any of those games.
Yeah,
we need to win four of those games.
And all season last year,
we needed to win one.
We were concerned about our three-point shooting all of the regular season last year. We were concerned about our three-point shooting.
This is simple. You're right in one sense, Jamie, that this is the anti-bubble. You know, it's the same crazy thing, because everybody is in the middle of a pandemic. You can't go out with your buddies after the game. You don't have your normal routine. You know, you got to travel, and you're going to airports. And
there's no people. The biggest thing is there's no people in the arena. I mean,
everybody's got the same
home court advantage, as we found out.
Yeah, right. Everybody's got the same challenges. So,
yeah,
whatever.
It means that some advantages that you had aren't advantages anymore.
Well, we'll take a look at what those advantages now that can be for the Lakers coming up in the next few games. Lakers hopefully will get on track Monday versus the Washington Wizards. Hopefully the Lakers
get on track.
Well,
that's my trap game. That's my trap game. We're going to go on a three-game losing streak.
We're not going to lose three in a row.
Admiral Akbar does it again. But
are you really predicting a trap game? Come on.
100%
before.
Oh, no.
I'm sticking with it. Yes. Look at how our effort is so bad, dude. Like,
you can't even listen, the glass is not half empty when it's upside down, like you always have it.
Wow.
I mean, to predict that we're going to lose to the Washington Wizards, that is an insult to LeBron.
Don't knock the Wizards now. Wizards is one.
I know. The Wizards are on a streak right now.
You got to move El Rob up into the upper left corner. He's getting infected already by the guy in the lower right corner.
Portland right now going to the front, I believe. So Washington's playing better.
Dave's got that locked up. Don't even worry. Dave's got that locked up. Dave time's coming.
We're not going to lose to him. We bet not lose to him with Utah. I think we got Utah, the Clippers, and Denver, or somebody after.
You're safe. You're safe now, Lee. You don't have to buy the storyline from the lower right, far right.
I'm coming for you, LT.
Oh my God!
The Wizards are playing better. If we don't play better, we can lose to Washington. It won't be a shock to me. If
the Lakers now I look like
80 points. Gonna
try Kobe. When the Lakers play like this, anything is possible. Yes, That's all I'll say.
Washington can score. They can score the ball. So,
and they give up a lot of points, but we'll see what happens.
And they're playing the champ, so they will come out ready. We still have a target on our back.
I like you down lower there, Gerald. That's good.
You know what, Tom? I also have the remove from stream button there.
Annie can mute any of us.
Well, yes, that's true as well. But guys,
I try that a lot. I sure.
Well, sometimes when you guys are playing around or eating snacks or getting drinks like Jamie and Elrob were today, it's like, maybe I should hit that mute button just a couple more times because your mics pick up everything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Jamie does it every time. There's always a noise that Jamie makes during the course of a program that's just like that. That's just going to appear at, and it just annoys me when I see it back in post, but that's okay. I'll just get it. It's just par for the course.
I try to mute myself when I type now, at least when I'm typing in the chat.
That's true. That is a step in the right direction.
We have to lower our expectations.
Never.
These are because we're missing two important cogs, and it's in the middle of a long stretch that's going to be challenging.
It's going to be challenging indeed. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion, Los Angeles Lakers, well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. But guys, it's been great talking to each and every one of you. I always love our spirited conversations. Hopefully everyone out there does as well. Always love the feedback that I do get via LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com or at LakersFastBreak on Twitter. But before we head on out, guys, if you go ahead and tell us what you're doing at LakerHolics.com, it is greatly appreciated, or what you're looking forward to this week. Obviously, that Utah Jazz game is coming up on the horizon. Although, again, with two guys out of the lineup, I don't know how much I'm looking forward to it.
No.
But I'm going to start with you, Elrob, my friend. Exactly. What are you looking forward to this week for everyone out there listening and watching at LakerHolics.com?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing us become more aggressive offensively. I'm looking forward to seeing the adjustments we make and seeing how guys like Caruso bounce back. And hopefully they kind of realize what they need to do when we're missing Dennis and AD. So I'm looking forward to seeing how guys adjust their attitude. Kuzma, he's being super aggressive. That's great. Matthews isn't turning down many open shots, so he's doing what he's supposed to do. We need a few other guys to do that as well, KCP and Caruso mainly. So I'm just looking for the adjustment in how they are attacking the game more so than I am any specific opponent.
Couldn't agree with you more on that. Well said, indeed. Of course, Jamie Sweet got five great things. Hasn't been so great lately, but what are you looking to do for LakerHolics.com besides make Laker Tom's blood pressure go a little bit higher?
I'm just going to advocate, back down basketball, big man, back to the basket basketball for 40 more possessions per game than we're doing now, which is about zero. So that would, be the, I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to Friday when hopefully Dennis Schroeder comes back, because that is the one big piece missing. And it's been obvious both when LeBron goes to the bench, but even when he and LeBron share the floor, it's just another guy who knows how to get to the cup, knows how to, get others involved, and is better at it than Caruso or THT or KCP or Kuzma. And we need that on this team. Last year, that was Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley was that guy who was a little bit smarter, able to open up the offense a little bit. And we had better, we had way better lob finishers last year. We were missing a lob finisher. So I wouldn't mind seeing a guy who can finish the lob. That's obviously not Marc Gasol. And it's not really Trez. It's not really Trez's game. Trez is more of a get the shot up and I'll do my work after that. So I agree with LT. We need to improve the 3-point shooting. I would like to see us get somebody who can, play some defense, finish the lob, and get some easy assist buckets in the paint. Because that was one of our major strengths last year that we don't have this year. We had two guys last year that could do that, McGee and Howard, and we have zero this year. And I think that's kind of a big missing point.
I've been thinking about this, and I threw a couple names out there. The Eric Gordon one, no, because he's got a horrible contract. even though he's playing terrific this year, but
he's going to play terrific.
He's got 3 years left on.
Yeah, no, it's and he's for forever. He's finishing his career in Houston if he's lucky.
Yeah. But I do got two names, and you could do them in a double trade. They're out of Orlando, Evan Fournier and Cam Birch.
Interesting.
Just a little thought. They're both on contracts that you could get them because they're on the last year of their contracts.
So. And Orlando is probably not going to make the playoffs this year and is probably looking for some young pieces to build around Vukovic with.
And Birch at 6'10 can be mobile enough to go out there and guard like Tom is looking for, but he cannot hit a 3-point shot.
No. But Fournier can. Fournier's not bad. I mean, you know, he's like another guy like all of our 3-point shooters.
He will shoot. He puts up shots.
He'll take two a game.
He'll take two a game. Yeah.
He takes more than that, Tom. He averages 80 points on the season. You got to take more than two of the game on that.
Yeah. I would take
he makes two a game.
I would take, yeah.
Your fans were awesome from Orlando. He'll fulfill Tom's wish of guys cranking up threes without a conscience. I guarantee you he'll get 6 or 7 up real quick.
I don't think he's on a last year of his contract though. I was thinking Fournier and Kim Birch because they're on the last year of their contracts. That's why I was looking at them. But
I like that because I don't know who we'd have to ship out. It might be too much to get what they bring
in. Neither one of those guys makes much, and
yeah,
we have nothing but big contracts or
basic. Yeah, we have a lot of that.
When with Kuzma's poison pill, we don't have anybody in that $4 to $5 million.
KCP is the only one, and he's playing like that's the mid range. That's the mid range in the NBA these days. So.
Well, but the guys you're talking about, but for Fournier, I think Fournier is a $20 million guy.
They'll probably want THT
and KCP and maybe even like a Kostas or Kaycock or somebody throwing in the
count in a trade. The two way salaries don't even matter. They don't calculate in the trade.
That's interesting. I know they don't count against. I guess they're not counting your salary
cap.
And Cook must have signed. So maybe you could trade Cook's contract because he just had to sign.
We're coming up close to a date where,
because you had to guarantee his contract by now.
Yeah, he's solid.
By now, I knew it was sometime in late
February. Cousins just got his contract guaranteed, and so that's why he's getting waived now, because he's been a good player, for a good teammate for Houston. He's been on his best behavior. Hold on, that's why they let him go ahead and guarantee his contract out of service to him. Mm-hmm. Before they told him, okay, we're going to be benching you because we want to go younger because we're losing right now. So, but they did guarantee his contract. So I think it was right around the time that most of these non-guaranteed players, I think like Cook, have also been guaranteed as well. But Laker Tom, I know you've got a lot going on as well. Maybe not as angry as Jamie or L Rob are probably going to say as if we tried to articulate it, certainly not myself, but I know you got a lot of great things going on at LakerHolics.com, so share us with thoughts. Also, your Medium.com article site as well, so please share us your thoughts on what you're doing at LakerHolics.com.
Well, I'm in the middle of an article that you could probably expect after what's happened with the Lakers. It's 4 trades that the Lakers can make to improve to land high-volume, high-percentage 3-point shooters, and it'll be out tomorrow.
Don't tell me Oladipo again. That's us.
He's all bad. I said high volume, high 3-point shooters.
Okay, so that's why Oladipo will not be on there. That's good. Because he's not high percent. Yes.
And give him another year. Add that
give him another year.
Nobody is safe.
Nobody is safe indeed.
Well, maybe LeBron.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, AD and LeBron are safe. And maybe Frank Vogel, too, yes. Even though Jamie Sweet is kind of, shaking his head.
I just gave Frank 3 articles ago. I gave Frank props, and I regret it. I've regretted it every day since. I should have just stayed quiet because we were doing fine. And then I give him props, and the offense
winning a championship, man, he still gives him no credit at all.
What are you talking about? I said I just gave him credit, and then I was.
And then you took it away, right?
I wouldn't hold the offensive woes against Frank only, because I think
it's a shared
responsibility. To a certain extent, a coach is limited by what he has on the bench. You know, it's limited by the roster the front office gave him, And it's also limited by the fact that this is LeBron James' team. And to a certain extent, the offense is a LeBron offense, you know. I blame Rob Pelinka basically for, you know, I every year we've done an experiment in the offseason where for 3 years now in a row, we've tried different ways of surrounding LeBron with the right mix of players. And it didn't really work that first year. Magic's whole idea of, you know, bringing in these playmakers.
Where were they? They were fifth in the West before LeBron went down. They were playing good.
So they were, but still, you know, it was a young team with a lot of young kids.
They weren't going to be in the last year.
they had this idea that they were going to really protect the rim with a couple of real rim protectors. And Vogel really made a genius move in making the shift away from those guys that got us into the playoffs, got us shooting more threes, got us rotating faster, playing small ball a lot more, and we won a championship. So this year we went into a mode of shifting away from trying to do the same thing we did in the playoffs during the regular season, that we were going to play smaller and faster and still try to protect the rim, but we didn't get any rim protectors to replace the two rim protectors we let go. And it's kind of interesting when you look at the team that's really doing the best job at rim protection and three-point shooting today. It's the Utah Jazz. They rank first in three-point defense and first in three-point offense. And they have a 9.3 differential that they get in every game because they win the three-point battle almost all the time. They're doing that with a rim protector and with a guy who is Jamie's old school defense only player. All he can do is dunk in Gobert. And we made a route to go away from that. And it's
when he does it in the playoffs. When this formula works for them in the playoffs,
you're right there, Lee, because I think that you can play Gobert off the floor. In the playoffs, I think you can play him off the floor because
last year he was played off the floor.
Yeah. So that's the big factor, and we've made that move. But
and I'll say this. Hold on, let me add this.
The two centers we got are just
two. I mean, Who's the second one?
Well, let me just say this. In that series against Denver, Jokic clearly had the matchup one-on-one when they face up. Jokic clearly has a matchup that's better. On Gobert, it's a clear favorite advantage for them. When it comes to a team defensive concept, there is no better as far as Gobert being able to go ahead and scout through the lane and being able to go ahead and rover and things of that nature. But matchups, like we saw that was exploited in the Denver series. Yep. So you're right; he was played off the floor on that occasion.
And he can, and I think that's one of the things that the Lakers front office recognized and the coaching staff recognized that the game is changing and the real threat that you have to be able to defend is the three-point shot. And we've done a good job at that, but what we haven't done is a good enough job revolutionizing the offensive side of the game so that we're a better three-point shooting team because we're basically the same three-point shooting team we were last year, which is mediocre. We rank right now 27th in attempts, 27th in makes, and 29th now in percentage. Now that puts a lot of pressure on you to, you know, and it makes you one-dimensional in a sense that teams like the Heat can come in and play this type of defensive strategy, this drop coverage, double LeBron, and obviously the lack of shooter and AD makes us extremely vulnerable and susceptible to that type of tactic. And then we won't be as susceptible in the playoffs. There will be weapons that Frank has to counter that. Right now, our problem is that we're a little light on those weapons to counter the types of moves that people are making. We did the right thing tonight. We let the shots fly other than a couple of times. My wife got all pissed at me from screaming to take the shot. You know, I was just so angry. It's just like, take the shot. I yelled.
But
sorry,
but you did it again.
And, you know, and
demerit. You get a demerit.
I got chewed out. I got chewed out for that. She just slammed the door and went downstairs.
Well, you're definitely being nice to you tonight, or you get chewed out by me as well for that demerit.
Sorry about Laker that. Tom, you get a demerit.
Not all right. But we'll tell you what, guys, F-bomb or not, it's going to be very interesting how this week will lay out. Hopefully, Tom will not have more F-bombs in his not-too-distant future, and hopefully he'll be saying, well, F yeah. Maybe he'll say F yeah with the Lakers with two good wins this week against Utah and, of course, on Monday against Washington.
We're hoping. Against Utah, but
we're hoping. We're hoping.
Washington will get.
Yeah, we won't. We're gonna
actually, when you play Utah, and on Friday we play Portland. So those are two of the four teams that have the best 3-point differential in the league.
Here we go again. But everyone out there, we truly appreciate you listening and watching to all this great, I guess, back and forth that we always have here at the Lakers Fast Break. If you have any questions for us at Lakers Fast Break, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com, please go ahead and support L. Rob, Laker Tom, and Jamie Sweet every time they go ahead and post new things, new articles, new comments, or anything that they do at LakerHolics.com. And please support us any way that you can right here at the Lakers Fast Break podcast.